Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Lori Miller, and we are having some major technical difficulties this evening. I am so sorry for the 12-minute delay. We should have Ted calling in a few minutes, and our guest Carlo will also be calling in. He is stuck in traffic in New Jersey, and we just couldn't get on the air. So I'm so excited to have you here tonight. Thank you all for joining us. I'm going to bring Ted in, so hang on 1 second, and we're calling him in. Or not. So hopefully Ted will call in, and we'll be on the air in a few minutes. Hi, Ted, are you here?
I am.
Oh, my goodness. Ted, you're going to have to call in, or you're going to have to call Carlo and bring him in. I'm explaining to our listeners that we're having a little bit of a Mercury retrograde kind of issue. So I'm not flying solo. Ted is here, and he's not flying solo. We're just trying to get everybody on the same page. So we do thank you very much for your patience. And, Ted, if you want to call Carlo and pop him in, that would be great. So everyone, I don't know if you can hear me. Hi, it's so fun to talk to people, and you don't know if they're listening or not. So tonight's guest is super special. His name is Carlo, and he has a solar-powered company called Harvest Power. It's actually multi-generational family business, and he should be on in just a minute. So, so I'll tell you a little bit. I was just out in California, and we had some great stuff with Green Build. It was a Green Build conference on sustainability. And if you don't know, I'm into wellness design, so it's one of the things that I do. So solar power is pretty near and dear to me. And there are a lot of companies at Green Build in California. And so I'm a little bit on a three-hour difference. We didn't get to do our show last week, so I missed everybody. And, so it's nice to be back. It's nice to be on the air. It is not nice to have these technical difficulties. So I'm not really sure what's going on the other end. Hopefully, we'll be having Carlo in here in a minute. So I'm just telling him to call in. So give me 1 second. Everybody's like texting, calling, trying to get everybody in. Hang on 1 second. Oh, everybody's here. This is so exciting. Hi, everyone. Hey, so I've been having a conversation with our listeners. Hopefully we do have some out there because they can't see. Let them know that Mercury's in retrograde and we just couldn't get this together for the technical end of it. Carlo, I did introduce you and said that you're in solar power, family business, and that your company is called Harvest Power. And I was talking a little bit about my trip to San Diego at the Green Build conference because I speak on wellness. So that the solar power industry is near and dear to my heart because we're really kind of in sync with the, you know, the environment and consciousness. So if you want to tell everyone a little bit about your company, and we'll let Ted introduce himself because I guess we missed that, Ted. This would be great.
Absolutely. So thanks for having me. My name is Carlo Lanza again. I'm the president and founder of Harvest Power. We're a solar power contractor based out of Long Island, New York, but really a regional company working in several northeast states. We do residential and commercial solar power, so that means we install solar panels on everything from homes to industrial buildings to carports to solar farms, and produce electricity and reduce greenhouse gas emissions and save our clients lots and lots of money through electric savings and tax incentives and all kinds of other good stuff. So,
and that's awesome. Ted, do you want to take a few minutes and introduce, you know, yourself, and you're not flying solo this week?
So I'm Ted Santos. I'm your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, and we come to you live. And it is Thursday. And as Lori said, we experienced some technical difficulties or breakdowns. They happen, right? How you manage them is really a huge determining factor of how your life turns out, because breakdowns do happen. And so here we are, and we come to you every week, and we talk about business, your business, the things that you like to accomplish. We address matters of leadership, finance, accounting, strategic planning, project management. And tonight, as you've already heard, we're going to talk about solar power. So every week we have a guest, and they are an expert in their field, and surely we have one who's an expert tonight. So if anyone would like to call in to the show, you can reach us at 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. And we are, Lori and I, going to start the conversation with Carlo and learn a little bit about himself, what he does. He's got a family business. This is a very interesting and exciting conversation, solar power and family-run businesses. And we'll learn about how it all started and what their value proposition is. So I'm going to step back, and Carlo, I'll ask you. So you started with your family business, right? Is this almost like a spinoff or something?
Yeah, okay. Basically, yeah. So, a little bit about my what I refer to as my prior life and career. So our family has owned and run a contracting business, Long Island and New York based, since the 1970s. So we've been in existence over 50 years. And about 12 to 13 years ago, solar power started to become, you know, this new thing that we were learning about and heard a little bit about, and we're really intrigued by. My personal background, I went to school for engineering and was always very into, you know, the technical aspect of even the contracting business and design and all that kind of all that kind of good stuff. And as I started to learn a little bit about solar power and the growth of the industry, and just, you know, was really intrigued by the technology and what it could do and how it could really just be altering. And I was really just gravitated towards giving it a try. And so that's what we did. In 2008, we started to bifurcate the business, and we started a division of our construction company, and we just called it the Harvest Power Solar Program. And we started to go back and talk to some of our existing clients and tell them about solar and all the you know, great aspects. And we had a lot of people that trusted us from all the work we'd done with them. And we started to, you know, just install our first few solar power projects. And when we had done our first project, there was actually 300 installations in all of New York State and one commercial solar installation. And that was back in 2008 or 9, I believe, probably 2009 that would be at that point. And since then, you know, the industry has just grown and grown exponentially to where our company does more than that in projects in any given year at this point. So,
wow.
In fact, but in orders of magnitude. So the industry has grown tremendously. Our company has grown along with it. And it's been a really fun ride so far.
And I'm sorry, what field of construction can be so niche? was your family's business?
Yeah, so actually we were really, had a pretty wide range of things we did. So we had, quite a few different specialty crews, and we were really, we considered ourselves and referred to ourselves as general contractors. We did everything from new home building, residential development, commercial renovations, industrial build-outs, restaurants, office buildings, and kind of everything in between. So we did a lot of different stuff. Always liked to, and that was me and others in my family, my father who founded the business, but we were always looking to try and do something new and learn new things and expand our horizons. And that's kind of keeping with what we did here with Harvest Power.
So with Harvest Power, it's sort of the same, you focus on commercial and residential also.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we do have, it basically, very different dynamics in the business. We actually, we have, two distinct divisions, one that focuses solely on residential homeowners and clients, and then we have another division that services our commercial clientele of all sorts. So, it's two very different types of businesses. But, all running under the same, some joint staff, but, some very specialized staff on both sides.
But, Laurie, you were going to ask something?
It was answered. So it was kind of on the construction end. But, I'm wondering, now with how much how much we always talk about COVID, right? How much COVID played into the business over the last year? Has it increased? And then are people doing it I don't know if you know the percentage, more for financial savings or because of the wellness piece of it?
Yeah, so I can address both those things. So as far as COVID, how it affected the business, I think probably any small business owner can relate. It was just a very, scary, challenging time. Still is from my perspective. That being said, thankfully, we did pretty well through it all. We did feel some impacts from some, mandated shutdown and other things that did happen. But thankfully, our business has survived and actually, to your point, has actually grown through this whole process. So it's been quite a challenging time, but, has worked out pretty well, to be honest with you. In the grand scheme of things, we're very thankful to be where we're at and to be growing the way we are still through this whole pandemic.
That's awesome. And do you know if people are going more for the financial piece or the wellness piece, or is it just you think the combination?
Sure. So interesting. It definitely is a combination. I will say, and I wish I could maybe say a little otherwise, but we do see more people gravitating towards this for financial savings. People, everyone loves the aspect of, the green living, reducing greenhouse gases, being good for the environment, but people do want to see, savings. And we do get clients that, would buy either way. They think and know,
right.
I should say, that it's the right thing to do, and they want to be involved, no matter what. But, at the end of the day, everyone has finances to deal with, regardless of, your want and willingness to help the environment, it's got to be feasible as well. And so that makes a major difference with most people.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it just seems to be totally the up and coming, new building practice. And I'm wondering if you see it more in the commercial end or in the residential end. I mean, that's just coming from the design perspective. And, of course, just coming back from the Green Belt Conference, which was huge sustainability. So, is it more on the commercial? Is it more on the residential? Are you split 50-50?
So we're actually seeing, I mean, on a really, there's tremendous growth across the country in both sectors. The residential market just keeps growing and growing exponentially every year. The commercial market as well. The commercial market in general is usually consists of a lot larger projects, a lot lower volumes, and that goes for pretty much any market around the United States. We're seeing a lot of growth in both sectors. We're seeing this happen at you know, the design and governmental levels, you know, for all kinds of reasons and with all kinds of things attached to it. There are actually certain municipalities now mandating new construction to have solar on them. We're seeing that, you know, all the way across the United States in California, where you just came back from. We're seeing that even in certain municipalities out on Long Island in New York, where they're actually saying, like, under certain criteria, you have to put solar. We're seeing certain towns do density relaxations for your contribution of willingly putting solar. So if you put solar on your commercial building, in certain municipalities, they'll actually let you build more density on your property, which is a big incentive. We're seeing mandates in New York City on new builds. They have a local law that mandates that you have solar on your new construction. So there's just so much going on, and it seems to be, you know, again, not a market without challenges on the regulatory side. There's a whole lot of things trying to be figured out, but in general is just really growing and really still, as much as, like, we're seeing thousands and thousands of projects and millions of panels go in, it's still, believe it or not, in its infancy. So.
That's great.
So I'm maybe we can answer questions that people have and may not even realize they have. Like, what are some of the current concerns? Like, or what are the things that concern people on the residential side or commercial that may hold them up from making a decision to make the investment?
Sure. So it's interesting. It's kind of like, you know, things have changed a lot since I got into the business. Interestingly enough, when we first, the first clients we sat with really had trouble believing that solar power was even going to actually work, right? Because it was this, you know, as I said, there was 300 systems in New York State, so you would be very hard-pressed to sit with a client that probably even knew anyone that had solar panels. The sticker price was a lot more than it is today. It was, you know, a lot of good incentives, and there still are now, but there was a massive sticker price attached with it, and people were just concerned, like, is this going to work? Is it actually going to offset my electric bill? If I pay for this, am I going to actually see these savings? And we've seen a lot of those concerns go away, because people now see solar as mainstream. It's becoming more and more that way. People understand that it works. And so we've kind of gotten past that major hurdle, and that just took a lot of education and just an evolution of the industry and people starting to understand that. From there, you know, people still, again, have some trouble, you know, grasping some of the financial aspects, especially on the commercial side. There are some complex tax transactions, very beneficial, but a little hard to understand for people. And so, you know, there's a little, you know, whenever the government is giving people free money, there's some skepticism. We have to get past that. People do ask a lot of questions. I don't know of so much worry, but people worry about the longevity of the systems. Are they going to last a long time? Are the panels going to fail or burn out? What about warranties? And, you know, solar is an extremely reliable product. It will last many, many years. In general, that has to be done with the systems to keep them in service. They carry pretty strong warranties. the panels, most of them are warranted for up to 25 years. So really, in general, it makes our job pretty easy. There's excellent, you know, financing mechanisms in place. So in that respect, we really have an easy job at telling people it's really for us to mess up and not do a good job explaining to someone that why they shouldn't get involved. So.
Well, in the past, the concern was if it's cloudy for several days, you know, will I have any power? Has that concern just
sure.
gone away?
Sure. That's a very common question. Yes. So basically, the way the systems work, they're called a grid interactive system. This means that you have power from the grid at all times, and you have your solar power. And as you said there, and very factually, when it's cloudy or rainy, you're not either getting as much solar power or in some circumstances are getting no power from solar at those given times. But we're utilizing, and what we do with these grid interactive systems is we utilize a program called net metering, which allows us to build the system large enough to overproduce energy in the sunny times and export that energy to the grid, and you will actually receive, you know, dollar for dollar credit on your account for all that extra energy produced. And then what happens is when it's cloudy or at nighttime when the solar is not producing, you will then pull off that energy. We call that net metering. We're actually feeding power back and forth, and you only pay on the net. And that's if there is a net to pay on, meaning if you have consumed more energy than you produced, then you will have to pay for that energy. But the power is always available to you, so you will have a constant source of power. And you will get credited for all the power you are producing, regardless of whether you use it at that moment or not.
So I have a somewhat maybe a strange question, and it may be more relevant to the commercial side. So in the derivatives market, you can sell pollution credits. Businesses do this all the time. So if you have a surplus of energy, can you sell it?
So, yes, in some markets and you know, actually, I should say, basically anywhere nationally, you can sell power on the wholesale capacity market, and you can get money for it. As far as most of that is like solar farm related, very large, fully export systems. And what we refer to in the sector as utility scale. Now, on a more practical level, I explained to you how like a residential system would work, and that's the all-in credit. So basically, you get full retail crediting. On a commercial system, there's a couple of different aspects to what you said. There are programs all around each state, and they're different, and there's various. I can throw some terms at you, but one of them is called a feed-in tariff, where you're actually signing a contract with the utility, and you're selling power to the utility, and they buy the power and the environmental attributes for a fixed price from you. There are also several markets, like in New Jersey, where they have what are called RECs, and those are they have, you know, on the wholesale capacity side nationally, they have what are called Tier 1 RECs. And then, like, in New Jersey, they have what they're calling, like, a TREC right now or a transition REC, and they just morph that program over to something else. But in, you know, bringing that back to planet Earth without all the acronyms and terminology, basically what happens is certain states and markets have actually set their own value for these environmental attributes, and they'll pay you. So in New Jersey, if you're a homeowner or a business, you will actually get a credit based on the amount of green energy you produce, and you'll get a check from the state program every month for all of the energy that you produce, based on the environment. Environmental attributes. And then again, on the wholesale market, you can sell those as Tier 1 RECs, or you can accumulate them for use in, you know, corporate compliance or other aspects. There's a lot of things that can be done with them other than monetization.
So, okay, on the commercial side, you can sell them. I didn't really hear. Did you say on the residential you can sell them also or accumulate credits?
In certain markets, such as New Jersey, which is one market that does it, New York does not have a program. They incentivize solely through their net metering program in New York. However, in certain markets, you can actually sell the environmental attributes through given programs.
So you can actually have a robust rate of return by incorporating solar into your energy structure for resident.
Absolutely.
Well, if you're in New Jersey,
yeah.
But definitely for commercial.
100%. And it's really in every sector, in every market, and the incentives work in different ways. In the commercial realm, usually you're more incentivized through the tax structure, the energy savings, and in certain markets,
right,
like New Jersey, through those REC programs. And on the residential side, there are some tax savings as well, but usually carrying a much higher retail rate is the main driver in a lot of markets. So as you alluded to, there can be a tremendous return on investment. And in fact, you know, not only, you know, homeowners and businesses, you know, invest, you know, in their own facilities to make returns on it because it's so good. But the returns are so strong that you're seeing, you know, every type of institutional investor and even private investors investing, you know, millions and millions and billions of dollars into these energy,
wow,
systems just to own and get returns off of them. So,
you know, with so many people working from home from COVID, does that alter your residential dwelling? Like, do you get to write part of it off for your business, or is there any way that it affects you? As, let's say you're running full time from home. Like, how does that affect?
So,
does it affect anything?
Yeah, I mean, that type of, and that question comes up a lot these days. We don't like to give specific advice on that particular topic, and we will tell people to ask their accountant, basically.
Okay.
However,
right,
you know, basically, we refer people. There are, you know, tax incentives involved with these systems, and so we know a lot about the available programs and the magnitude of specific nuanced questions, such as, like, you know, can I treat this as a commercial deduction? Which would be more a lucrative way to do it versus a residential deduction on my,
right,
own home? We're going to always,
right,
defer to the person's professional tax advisor and let them make those calls.
Okay.
Now, however,
what if you are
something
a,
for sure to be looking.
Sorry,
at
go it. Ahead, please.
I'm sorry.
Finish that.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, you know, definitely there. You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of nuances to these. So, you know, there's things that should be discussed with the tax advisor and to maximize these benefits. So.
Okay. Now, what if you are an investor, you know, just sort of an average person flipping houses and you invest in solar? Does that count as commercial at that point, since it's not your own personal residence?
Yes. I mean, again, I would hesitate to give tax advice, but, you know, commercial investments other than your primary residence, typically there are, I will at least say this, there are structures that will work for that type of thing. And again, the nuances of that, you know, you would have to structure with your accountant. But when you're buying commercial property and flipping it, there can be, you know, very strong tax incentives to, you know, the purchaser of the system, sometimes even depending on how the structure is made to the purchaser of the residence. And sometimes we've seen, you know, home builders and other investors install solar on these properties that they're buying and selling solely to you know, boost the value of the property and create actually tax incentives downstream to the clients that are buying the homes, you know, who, you know, they, the builder would profit from, you know, an increased value of the home, and the resident or, you know, purchaser of the property could actually take advantage of some of the tax savings as well. So there's a lot of creative structures that can be done with it.
So what – so if you add solar and you want to sell your house, that typically nationwide, by what percentage could it increase the value of your home?
So a couple of articles, we're seeing – you know, studies that are, you know, throwing percentages on it. But I, my personal thought on that is that that's very skewed because, you know, you're not going to get a, you know, 10% increase on the value of your home on a $5 million home to have solar power on it. And conversely, you know, if you had a very low valued property, you know, however, they do publish some data on that. I just hesitate to share it. But one statistic that I thought was pretty good that I do share is that, you know, for every $1,000 worth of power you produce on your home for the year, that it was raising the appraisals about $12,000. And there was a reputable published article on that. So, you know, it's substantial. So interestingly enough, if that statistic holds true, in most cases, you know, net of tax incentives, you know, you can put solar on your home, sell it after a period of time, and actually profit off of the entire transaction because, you know, your basis into the system will be a lot less than the appraisal would raise in the home. So pretty powerful from all data that is available.
Great. Thank you. Lori, did you want to ask him some questions?
I do. So, you know, everyone knows the obvious benefits, but like what does solar power do? What is, you know, some of the other benefits, you know, besides being sustainable, wellness, saving money, you know, some of the intricacies. So do you ever have breakdowns? How do you deal with them? You know, some of the things about running a business, right? Are you having a hard time, like, finding, I don't know how many parts go into putting solar in, but are you having a hard time with supply chain? So I have a lot of those questions.
Yeah, if we're getting into the other side and the challenges we face, they're actually pretty great right now. So supply chain, as we're seeing with everything else, from when you go to the store and try and buy an appliance or a television set, we are having the same challenges buying almost everything in our supply chain. So it's been an enormous challenge this year keeping, you know, enough solar panels, all of the electronic parts, even stuff as simple as some of the bolts and fasteners and circuit breakers and electrical panel boards that we need, meter pans for, you know, electrical services. All these things have just been a tremendous, tremendous challenge. So say factually that the last 2 years have been the hardest that we've ever seen. And although we had a lot of business, it's been tremendous resource trying to procure and to get all of our product that we need for our projects. And a really kudos to our team. Through a lot of effort and hard work, we have been able to stay ahead of this and keep our jobs moving. But it's quite a challenge right now. So.
Yeah, I can imagine, because I know, you know, on our end, we're just experiencing it. It's like so crazy. So I was just wondering, and then, you know, how do you handle it? How do you stay ahead of it? Like, what are some of the more proactive things as a business owner that you can do? Because, I mean, you know, we talk to a lot of business owners, our listeners are business owners, and everybody's kind of in the same boat, but it's always helpful when you have someone who's successful at it, or at least, you know, staying somewhat ahead of the curve. You know, what are some great ideas that people can do to kind of, you know, stay ahead of this?
Yeah, well, quite honestly, it's a balancing act and some hedging. And, you know, I will say before I tell, you know, kind of our story that I'm always very hesitant. I don't want to give anyone any advice that could potentially, you know, go adversely on them and not knowing other people's businesses or their supply chain. I'll be very careful about what I say and only relate it to what we do. So, you know, solar panels are very commoditized and they fluctuate up and down. And so, you know, what we tried to do is align ourselves with partners and long-term relationships that we've had, give accurate forecasts. We were pretty aggressive in buying things a bit earlier than we needed them, things that we knew we could utilize and we know we could use. And that was very, very helpful in having these things ready time of install. And so, you know, spending all, you know, I would, you know, say this is sound advice for any business in this situation is to really evaluate everything you're going to need down to the things you really took for granted. And we saw that at the grocery store, right? We just went in to buy something and it wasn't there, but, you know, figure anything you're going to need, talk to suppliers, expect the worst, and quite honestly, on the flip side of that as well, you know, be careful because, you know, it you know, again, things, and I'm sure this is the same for everybody's business, but, you know, cost and goods have been very inflated lately and, you know, just be careful and cautious, and that's the approach we've taken. You know, be as aggressive as we needed to be to make sure we were, you know, had what we needed, and also, you know, be somewhat cautious. Don't go too crazy because of some of the unknowns of the supply chain right now.
Right, and we know Ted's on hand as our business coach. Right, so, you know, if you're scaring anyone in the wrong way, he'll jump in. He'll say, nope, it's working for them, but that's not the
good.
Best way to do it. So...
Great.
But, yeah, I mean, Ted, I don't know if you have any words for our listeners on maybe some, you know, tips or things as well in addition to Carlo.
Well, yeah, he was talking about hedging. So, you know, it's I was speaking to a gentleman who worked directly with the former CEO of Dunkin' Donuts, and we were just – yesterday talking about how, you know, how do you make donuts? You know, you supply each of your retail stores with donuts. And we were having a whole conversation about this. And, you know, at one time, Dunkin' Donuts used to make the donuts in the back. You'd see
yeah.
the big fryers, and they no longer do that. So they have these places where they make the donuts and they deliver them. So, and what there are... these good problems that happen, like a school bus with like 30 children will pull up and wipe out your donuts. So, so you forecast and you make projections so that you can factor in, like, it's a kind of a crude way. It's almost like being a card counter, right? So you have to project and factor in that breakdowns happen, right? And how prepared are you? So, you have to understand what's going on in your ecosystem. And, you know, that was one of the things he and I were talking about. So, you know, the general managers for those Dunkin' Donuts needed to know their environment and, you know, the school systems and the businesses and the hotels and, you know, are there conferences coming up? You know, are you going to get an influx of 50 people just coming in and wiping out and then you have nothing? So, you know, they made all kinds of forecasts to look at when was it worth it, you know, was it cyclical, when was it worth to have a little bit more so that you didn't miss out on the opportunity to sell. And if you had closed the doors with surplus, you know, was it beneficial, you know, to have that little bit of extra instead of having less sales? So, you know, the thing about COVID, it's a black swan, so it's not something that's cyclical, and it's, but people still have businesses to run, and you still have clients that have demands. So, you know, my suggestion is that you factor in that breakdowns happen and don't be surprised when they come up, whether it's analogous to the school bus of 30 kids getting off and wiping out your supply, or, you know, you've got a client, regardless of your business, that's going to put some demands on your supply chain in a way that you don't anticipate. It's better sometimes, not to exaggerate, but sometimes it's better to have more because we already see the problems that's happening in the supply chain. You know, people not working, so they can't manufacture. So we're having these problems.
Absolutely.
Did you hear anything?
I'm sorry?
Did my voice come through at all, or was I?
Yeah, I heard you, yes, for sure.
Okay.
Still on.
Okay. All right. Carlo, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, good. We're all here. Yay. So I think we're all still in.
Yes. Okay, great.
Yeah, I hit something and then my phone went like whatever. So another one of those breakdowns. But I was going to say that I know one of our vendors just anticipated and bought an entire supply, an entire warehouse and a supply of material so that he could, you know, just have that material on hand. So I'm wondering if you did that as well, Carla.
Did. Actually, we brought in, you know, we usually keep a certain amount of inventory, and we brought in, I actually bought and took in, you know, more in the 300% more than we typically, you know, keep on hand. So we did aggressively buy. We made some long-term forecasts. We, you know, were able to secure, which was actually very advantageous, some longer-term supply chains, like through the end of this year, and we're still receiving product at, you know, much more advantageous pricing than we could go out to market and buy it for. So we did pretty well in that respect. And again, we're able to keep our client service. So all that worked well. You know, other goods that we really couldn't advance buy because at some point, you know, it becomes too capital intensive and there's certain things that you just, you know, there's only so much of it you can buy. We did see, you know, what happened at least to us is like every, you know, item that we weren't able to pre-purchase, you know, just got more and more expensive on us as the year went on.
Super smart move. You know, I mean, it's anticipation. And you have it, you know, and a lot of people didn't think like that. So that's good business.
Go ahead, please, Carlo. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sure. I was saying, you know, it was tough and a tough call because, you know, there was a lot of, you know, worries about the economy and all that kind of stuff. So, it's these are tough decisions. And like I say, they've got to be balanced in some way. You know, you can win really well on these and keep things moving smoothly. But, you know, on the other end, as a business owner, you fear, are these other things going to disrupt the supply chain and the customer base, you know, so greatly that, you know, you won't have need for these products. So, you know, it was a tough hedge. We did okay with it.
Yeah, very smart. Thank you for sharing that. Carla, if people want solar power or they want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Yeah, so they can, you know, go on our website, put an inquiry in through the website for sure. Also, they could email us at info@harvestpower.net. Or even call into our office if they like, and the number's on the website, and you reach us that way.
So info@harvesthower.net, not .com.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Duly noted. And are you national? Do you go all over? Are you strictly New York?
So we work in several states. Our residential business is mostly contained to New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. We have a broader reach on our commercial division, and we're working, you know, we can handle most states, not every state can we work in, but quite a few. So mostly we're doing mostly East Coast projects, but up and down the board. So
okay. Very good to know. So info@harvesthower.net. Oh, my God, Carlos, thank you. I hope we got you through your drive from New Jersey.
Yeah.
I hope we made it quick.
Quite a bit of New York, New Jersey traffic lately, so as we discussed. But, yes.
Absolutely.
So we were your angels tonight, safely taking you home.
Absolutely.
And this is great. And I so thank you for your patience through our little trial period. We hopefully you'll get some, you know, callers out of it. And I will send you the recording of it. And I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you both so much for having me, and anyone who is listening for indulging us. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Carlo. No question, people need expertise like you've presented.